Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of the Business Success Network podcast with me, Gary Jones, Stacey Calder and Nish Gopal. Hello, how are you all doing this episode? Now, in this episode, we're going to catch up with Nish Gopal, who is the Managing Director of MNG Consulting, but also now works with a company called Omni Cybersecurity. And guess what he does? He specializes in cybersecurity. Now, him and his team are going to make sure that you are protected online, not only yourself, but also your teams. Now, he was the cover star in issue 7, and this interview was recorded probably about 6 months after his initial coffee break in the Business Success magazine. So let's catch up with what's been happening with Nish and Stacey.
Hi Nish, so it's been about 6 months since we last spoke and I interviewed you for the magazine, so we thought we'd do a catch up, get you on the podcast and ask you really what's been happening, what's been going on, other than the lack of sleep and the new child.
Absolutely, yeah. So what's changed is I'm not getting enough sleep, but I have in return got a beautiful little daughter now. Aww. So she's 4.5 months, so yeah, it's all fun and games. It's all fun and games. But from a business perspective, a lot has happened since we last spoke. I'm now running my company, but at the same time I'm also working with an organisation called Omni Cybersecurity, who are a much larger cybersecurity firm offering far deeper breadth of services than I could offer. So just working with them to kind of build out their portfolio of services, again focusing on the more SME market and the middle-sized organizations rather than large corporates.
And that's something you're really passionate about, isn't it, the SME kind of market? And you were saying that seems to have really taken off since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, so when I quit my full-time job, the vision was to focus on the SME market because I felt they weren't getting the support they required, because all the big organizations are focusing on the corporates, charging ridiculous day rates, etc., and I didn't agree with it. Therefore I branched out on my own and started supporting the SMEs.
That's brilliant, and you're going to give us some top tips later on. So how are you finding working, obviously, your own business and working alongside another company as well? Is it a bit of a juggle along with the family, or is it something that you're taking in your stride?
Yeah, it's not a juggle simply because what I used to do for NMG, I do for Omni now. I've got bigger reach, I've got more kind of resources at my disposal, so it kind of helps me in that sense. The only juggling that goes on is, as you mentioned, is with family. So having two little ones and, you know, going to client sites and doing the talks and doing the auditing and that kind of stuff, it can become challenging. But it's all, because I enjoy it, it's all fun.
Absolutely, and actually, so the last time we met, it was just after the magazine came out, actually, and you were a speaker at Meet Up and Mingle event, and you spoke about, oh, I'm not sure this talk's going to be very fun, cybersecurity could be quite boring to those people that aren't really interested. But actually, we had it was such an informative talk, and it was fun, and it was engaging. What would your advice be to employers that are maybe needing to train their teams or something like that with, you know, that they think it's boring? Is there something that you'd give them?
Absolutely, and one of the things we do now to make things more interesting is we do what are called live hacks. So organizations can invite us on their site or wherever they want to meet up. It could be an external meeting room. And what we do is one of our fully experienced ethical hackers demonstrates a live hack whereby, you know, we can manipulate your account details and kind of go on and demonstrate to your employees how simple it is to clone material online, and the damage that can be done if your password and your username fall into the wrong hands.
Wow. So explain a bit more about that, what this hacking kind of involves and what it is.
Yeah. So how the live hack works is our ethical hacker will kind of create, let's take Office 365 as a prime example because it's key in every organization. You know, when you try to log on to your office to check your Outlook online, you go to the office portal and you type in your username and your password. What our hacker does, ethical hacker I should say, does is clone that page And somehow, so by using social engineering principles, get you to click on a link that takes you to this fake office portal, which is exactly like the office, normal office background. You put in your username and your password, and you think you're logging into Office, but what's actually happening is, as soon as you type something in the field of your username and password, there's a screen in the back, a code's running, and he's seeing everything you're typing on his side of the computer.
Wow.
And he can log in with your details thereafter, and you know, have access to any documentation online, your email inbox, your OneDrive account if you've got that, and yeah. So obviously, as you can understand, he'll have access to everything. Not only that, then he can use your credentials to go on the dark web and purchase all kinds of things which are illegal.
It's just petrifying, really, isn't it? It's things that, you know, you hear. You just mentioned dark web, and I think, oh, it sounds really sinister, but it's kind of everyday stuff for you, isn't it?
It is, and yeah. And fortunately, we our hackers and ethical hackers live on the dark web. If we understand the risks, we can kind of communicate those risks to the clients that we're working with. But you know, presentations and talks go a long way to educate users, but what really educates the users is when they actually see what damage can be done.
Yeah,
because otherwise you don't believe it.
So taking that right back to what you were just saying about cybersecurity and the dark web and live hacks, for those that may be completely new to this, what is cybersecurity and what is the dark web?
Good question. So cybersecurity is essentially, it pivots around three key principles. It's the maintaining the confidentiality of information, so making sure, you know, it's what's for your eyes only stays for your eyes only. The second principle is making sure the information is available when you need it. So if someone takes over your system and you know, encrypts your information, it's not going to be available to you, so that needs protecting. And finally, the third principle is the integrity, meaning any information that you hold within your business or your home has to be true and has to be reflective of what was actually used in the first place. So that's integrity. So cybersecurity is essentially built up of those three key principles: availability, confidentiality, and integrity. Going on to the dark web, essentially it's a term that's been used a lot, but what the dark web is, it's different to your normal internet where you type in www.google.com. It uses, without getting too technical, it uses a different protocol, and you can get on it by using some specialist tools. It's not available, you know, if you open up your Google Chrome or your Internet Explorer and you type into Google dark web, it's not going to take you to the dark web. It's a you need to be able to access some I guess independent tooling, which isn't illegal, by the way. You can use. A lot of people think dark web is illegal, but it's not. It's the activity you do on the dark web which is illegal. And
so is that because it's not as highly regulated, or, you know, how does it then become this thing, if you like, that has got these processes where people can then hack and...
Yeah, so the dark web essentially, like most of the internet, is not regulated. But the key thing about the dark web is you can be anonymous on it. It wouldn't be Nish Gopal is doing this or Stacey Cold is doing this. It would be user whatever you want to call yourself. It's very anonymous. The IP addresses and all of that kind of stuff cannot be tracked back to you. Therefore, you need a little bit of specialist knowledge to, you know, navigate the dark web properly. But once on it, the things you can do are quite scary. You can go from, you know, buying drugs to actually hiring a hitman.
Wow.
To buying a gun. So there are different. It's a massive spectrum of illegal things you can do. Some are less illegal than the others, if that's the terminology I'm allowed to use. But yeah, it can get quite dark on the dark web.
Crikey. So yeah, and again, I suppose it's like the internet is a great tool, isn't it, in the right hands, and yet it can be such a damaging tool if placed in the wrong hands.
Agree, completely agree. And I think the biggest thing is educating the end users around the usage of internet, email, and anything. We live in a very tech-savvy world nowadays, but I don't think the education is up to scratch, basically, to deal with the different issues.
No. And we've just had a whole conversation about that before we started this, and we're going to do some work together and try and raise that education bar a little bit when it comes to maybe parents and children and teenagers and that sort of stuff. So that's the end of part one, Nish. You can have a breather and take a sip of your coffee now, and we'll be right back with part two. So since the last podcast, we've had some really exciting news. We have finally launched our app. It's called the Business Success Network, and it's available on Apple and Android. You'll notice it because it is bright pink and it says Boom across it. So that's how you will find us and you will know it's us. It has lots of videos, lots of tips, lots of tools. It has the magazine on there, but it also has our experts, and you can inbox them directly through the app with questions. That's a really great thing for our experts. They want to hear from you. So please go on and download it. Business Success Network.
Let's get cracking with part two with Nish and Stacey.
So Nish, that was absolutely fascinating. Now what I want to know is how you got into it. Where did it all start? And, you know, take us back.
Yeah, no worries there. So it all started when I was at university. I've always been interested in security. I don't know where that interest came from, if I'm honest with you, but computers and things is what I've kind of grown up with. Always. So I did computer science and maths at university, and as part of that, my final year, I did a dissertation around encryption and security measures organisations and home users can implement. But just before that, I did a sandwich year, and where I spent a year at the Ministry of Defence.
Wow.
Working on the Hercules aircraft and kind of making sure how it stays secure from, you know, the hackers and that kind of stuff. So that really drove my interest in security. Then my first grad job was with a company called Detica, who have since been bought over by BAE Systems. And I guess from there, my career just kind of took one role after another, was into information security, until my final role at Dell SecureWorks, when I decided to step away and start doing something on my own.
And that's, it just shows, I mean, you being an SME yourself, and I know your passion really comes through for helping other SMEs, and I think that's such a great way of, you know, giving something back. But also, you talked about in the magazine, you talked about influences that were your, you know, growing up, it was your mom and all that sort of thing. I mean, that was just such a lovely part of the interview. I know I certainly, as oh, it's so lovely. But, and we're going to talk about top tips and everything as well, but do you think there was an influence that made you kind of go into technology? Or was it just something that you really enjoyed as a child?
So yeah, I guess I can't pinpoint why, you know, what my biggest influence was in terms of getting into technology, but I do remember my brother bringing home the first ever computer, and I was fascinated by it. And I remember my mum and my brothers couldn't get me off it, and I was one of those people who loved to take it apart and put it all back together to make sure it still works and tinker with it.
Yeah, I get that. My brother was exactly the same. I don't know if it's a boy thing or whether it's just a computer thing, but my son's very similar as well.
Yeah. We just like to experiment, see what can go wrong.
Brilliant.
So I hope everyone's enjoyed listening to this podcast. And if you do want some more information, whether it's for your small business, medium business, or for yourself, from a personal perspective, feel free to look on our website, which is omnicybersecurity.com. Or connect with me on LinkedIn, and feel free to drop me any messages you want on LinkedIn, and I'll come back to you.
Let's carry on with this really cool interview with Nish and Stacey with part three.
So Nish, that's been, I love interviewing you because there's always so much that I learn from this, but what's happening in the future? What does the future hold for your own company and working alongside the other company? And can you share your three top tips with us?
Yeah, so my future with any company, with Omni Cybersecurity, is essentially trying to grow the organization organically and continuing our support for the kind of SME market, making cybersecurity services available and affordable for those businesses. It's all about, you know, making it everyone's business. Essentially, it's not just a corporate issue. It's everyone's issue, and it won't get to that stage until we start as an industry. We start doing something with the SME industries. I guess top three tips you wanted?
Three tips,
I could possibly go on for hours, but if it's the top three, is whether you're a home user or a business user, never have the same password for all your services. We keep hearing this advice everywhere, but it's surprising to everyone to understand that a lot of people and organizations use the same password for various different services. So what I mean by that is, for Facebook, you'll have a password. For your email, you'll have a password. Make sure those two passwords are different. Better yet, instead of using passwords, try using a passphrase. So essentially, you know, you're making the length of your passphrase a bit longer, and therefore making it a bit more difficult for the hackers or the wrongdoers to get access to your information. Second thing is, always keep all your devices updated with the relevant updates that are pushed by your manufacturer. So for example, if you're using an iPhone or an iOS device or an Android device or a Windows device, you'll often get messages to say you've got critical updates to install. Don't keep putting them off. Do the updates as soon as possible, simply because those updates contain very, very key security updates. Although they don't list them out or list out what they are, because the average user won't understand everything, it's absolutely essential that you do your content updates. And I guess a tag along with that one is, always keep your antivirus software updated too, because you know the viruses out there are getting more and more sophisticated. Therefore, your antivirus needs to remain updated to make sure you can fight those different viruses out there. And the final third tip, as I guess it's more geared towards businesses than the home users, is around understanding the risks your suppliers bring into your business. Because what we find in our industry is, you will spend quite a lot of money securing your environment, you know, making sure everything within your four walls is secure, but you never pay attention to what risks a supplier can introduce to your business. So what we advise there is making sure you do proper due diligence on any supplier that you deem to be critical, and criticality can be dependent on whether they're dealing with any personal information on your behalf, any company sensitive information. So for example, a lot of organizations outsource their IT to a third party. What due diligence are you doing on that IT third party, or do you just live with a false sense of security to say, yep, the IT team are looking after it? Because you know, chances are they're probably not, so you need to do a due diligence on that. And I guess, yeah, like I said, Stace, I can go on forever with these tips, but I'll stop at those for now.
Well, interestingly, you just said about, you know, you might outsource your IT to a third party and they might bring their own stuff. I was just about to say, well, that's great, and if you can't, you know, get a grip of this, outsource it to a third party, which kind of contradicts, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? But I'm guessing it means choosing the right person, and like you say, making sure that they're up to date with your processes and you're up to date with their processes, and
yeah,
it's all...
Yeah, supply assurance is just exactly that. It doesn't mean you stop working with a third party. It just means you give them, you make them go through the same processes that you go through to make sure that the security elements they've implemented is the same or better than the security controls that you've implemented to protect your data. Because essentially, if they mess up and have a breach which affects you as a business, it's not only going to be them, you know, with the reputational damage, etc., and the fines from GDPR, it will be yourselves as well. And so due diligence needs to happen, and proper due diligence at that, not just, you know, due diligence for the sake of due diligence.
Brilliant. And then we're going to do something slightly different now, because you told me just before we came on the recording that you've actually teamed up with one of our other business experts, Louise, for some really interesting stuff going on for the future. So do you want to share a bit about that?
Yeah, you're very right. I met her at one of the Meet and Mingle events, and we've been kind of in touch since then. Louise runs Primary Goal, as you know, providing apprenticeship programs to college students for private and public sector. So what we're doing with Louise is essentially introducing cybersecurity as a skill set to the apprentices, who can then go and take that skill set into the industry that they're going to add that extra layer of support that the smaller organizations need. And we're all about supporting the SMEs, as I keep saying, and doing that with Primary Goal essentially gives businesses the support they need from at a very low cost, and at the same time it helps us raise the awareness that we're trying to so badly do at the moment around cybersecurity not being a corporate problem, but it's everyone's problem.
And actually, you know, it's also helping the apprentices themselves with key, you know, stuff that they need to learn that they can, like you said, take into those environments and take with them, but also expand on in the future and maybe inspire them the way you were inspired as a young person as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about upskilling them and taking the skill sets they have. And luckily for us, pretty much 99% of any college student or school leaver student age group has a keen interest in technology. and we're trying to harness that interest into something usable, so they understand the risks around cybersecurity, the kind of the protection measures that organisations and personally they need to implement, and take that knowledge to the businesses they go to.
Fantastic, Nish. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. So thank you for today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much, Stacey and Nish. Now, remember, if you haven't already, please, 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 please check out Nish on LinkedIn. Check out Omni Security. Check out NMG Consulting. And seriously, take his top tips. He knows what he's talking about. Now, thank you very much, everyone, for listening today. Remember, if you haven't already signed up to the app or got the app for business success, check it out. It's available on the Play Store and on the Apple Store. Have a good one, everyone. Take care, and I will see you very soon. Bye-bye.